I'm reading from Luke chapter 2 this morning, beginning in the 8th verse. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord. Great joy for all the people." I was thinking about last night, how do I preach a message on joy when something like this happens to our immediate family? But the truth of the scripture is there is great joy even for us this morning. Amen? Great joy for all the people. Listen, circumstances weren't perfect for the shepherds, for the people of Jesus' time when he was born. And yet the angel said, God with us is going to bring great joy. In the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of our lives, whatever they may be, how difficult they may be, God is bringing us great joy. What is great joy? Joy is a lot like trying to put a puppy in a box for Christmas. It comes spilling out to love and lick everyone that's around. Fortunately, joy is not as hairy and it doesn't make a mess. But joy is boundless and uncontainable. Joy overflows, and when you've experienced joy, you want to share it with someone else or as many people as you can. Joy bubbles over and touches everyone it comes in contact with. Joy is what we are celebrating on this third Sunday of Advent. Now, if you've been with us these last couple of weeks as we journey towards Christmas, you know that we've been celebrating Advent. As a quick recap, the word Advent means coming or arrival. And the season is marked by expectation, waiting, anticipation, and longing. It's a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus Christ's coming, while at the same time looking forward in hopeful and eager anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom when he returns for his people. So each week, we've been focusing on a different attribute of God represented in the coming of Jesus: hope, love, joy, and peace. Because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, he is the embodiment of those traits, who has entered our world and who fills us with all of them. This morning we want to talk about joy. On your notes this morning, write this in that first slot there: great joy overcomes great pain. Great joy overcomes great pain. Maybe you're here this morning and there's great pain in your life in some way. I don't just mean physical, although you may have that, but it may be emotional. It may be something that you're going through and there's pain in your life. I want to tell you today that the great joy that the angel spoke of, Emmanuel, God with us, brings great joy. And that joy can overcome the greatest of pains. On the first Sunday of Advent, we talked very briefly about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1 tells the story of Zechariah. They were the parents, you know, of John the Baptist. He was sent to prepare the way for Jesus the Messiah. Zechariah was a priest who received a visit from an angel that told him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." In Luke chapter 1, it says, "He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." The catch was that Zechariah and Elizabeth were old. Elizabeth was beyond childbearing years. The couple have never been able to have kids, so beside the shock from talking to an angel, Zechariah couldn't get over the fact that it was possible for his wife to have a baby. And as a result, his voice was taken away until the baby was born. We've talked about that. Sometimes we speak doubt over our own miracles, don't we? But today, we want to take a little bit closer look at Elizabeth. Because in the story of God with us, she deeply experienced joy in the midst of the miraculous events she found herself suddenly in the middle of. At first, Elizabeth might have dismissed the lack of a pregnancy. Maybe the timing just wasn't right to conceive, or maybe, like many of you in this room have probably experienced, there was a pregnancy. Joy and hope would have leaped into Elizabeth's heart when she realized that a new embryo had sprung to life in her womb. Maybe she even told people she was pregnant. But then something happened, and then there was a miscarriage. While physically hard and emotionally painful, Elizabeth might have dismissed the first one or two as a fluke. But as many times as a pregnancy began, it came to an end prematurely. Just think about her life for a minute prior to our introduction to her. Friends and family probably offered encouragement and shared her sorrow. They might have offered advice that, while well-intentioned, was just plain hurtful. Advice like this: Elizabeth, maybe there's some sin in your life you need to confess. They might have said, well, when we tried this, it helped us get pregnant. Maybe something's just wrong with you. We have no idea what Elizabeth went through in her life in a culture in which childbearing was everything. Who knows how long it took? But gradually, year after year, Elizabeth's hope would have slowly died as she came to terms with the fact that something was wrong, that she could not have a child. At some point, the social stigma would have stuck. Barren, they called her. It became a shameful and permanent mark, painful in her life, painful in her heart. Elizabeth would have grieved over the loss of ever being a mother. She would have accepted the loss of the status that came in her own culture from bearing children. She would never be considered as worthy or esteemed as other women. She accepted her fate and failure in the eyes of her society. And then God came. On an ordinary day, with Zechariah at work in the temple, the angel Gabriel showed up out of the blue with a miraculous message. Zechariah couldn't even tell his wife what the angel had said. He would have had to either write it out or use signs and gestures to give his wife the news. Elizabeth must have thought she was getting the wrong message at first. It seemed too good to be true. Hope must have kicked her in her heart like a thump of a baby in the womb. Could she even allow herself to go there? Could she open her heart to the possibility, after hoping and waiting and praying for so long, only to be let down again and again and again? From what we can tell of Luke's account, it seems Elizabeth had an easier time of accepting the miraculous news than her husband. And soon she was pregnant, saying this in Luke 1:25. The Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. You see, you thought I was making all of that up. But the scripture indicates that this was great joy for Elizabeth, because she felt disgrace in the eyes of her culture. And she gave glory to God. What we do know is that in her 6th month of pregnancy, Elizabeth experienced a deep encounter with joy brought by the coming Messiah, whose human life had just sprung into being in Mary's womb. We talked about it last week. Young Mary left her home shortly after her own angelic visit, came to stay with her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months, and as soon as she arrived, Elizabeth's baby leaped in her womb, Luke 1:41, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth's joy overflowed, and she greeted Mary with a beautiful and insightful blessing. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. So the puppy was out of the box now. Joy was flowing, and true to its nature, joy was contagious. Mary burst into her own song of praise and thanksgiving as she gave words to the miracle happening through her. Already, Emmanuel, God with us, was unleashing joy on the earth. And already his joy began rippling outward. When Elizabeth gave birth to John 3 months later, the joy of her miracle spread through her village and her family. Look at this verse in Luke 1:57. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they, what? Shared her joy. Because God with us brings joy. And great joy overcomes great pain. Perhaps there's no joy greater than that of a mother holding her newborn child. For Elizabeth, the joy must have especially been overwhelming. She was experiencing a miracle. And it was a miracle that healed a lifetime of hurt and pain. A lifetime of disrespect and shame. And it was only the beginning of the miracles she would witness in her lifetime. Great joy overcomes great pain. Second thing I want you to write down this morning is this. Great joy has a great source. What would you and I give to know that kind of joy? To see the scars and shame of our life washed away so dramatically? Most likely, we're not going to see it happen through such an obvious miracle. But the joy Elizabeth experienced is available to us. Amen? This is the joy brought into our world by Jesus, God with us. And though we are living long past his time on earth, his life and his joy are available to us now. The Apostle Peter wrote, 1 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Think about that for a minute. What is the source of our joy? The source of our joy is knowing Jesus. We have a great source of joy. It's not what happens around us. It's not our own hearts trying to manufacture happiness, but we have an inexpressible and glorious joy because we know him and because we believe in him and we love him. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. An inexpressible and glorious joy. Now that's deep, deep stuff, isn't it? It's more than the surface happiness that we go out looking for all the time. The momentary enjoyment that we seek to fill our lives with, and sometimes we'll spend all kinds of time and energy and money getting it, won't we? But it doesn't last. It never lasts, does it? This is stuff that runs much deeper than happiness. We love to be happy. We love to feel good. But happiness comes and goes as the circumstances around us change. And by the hour and by the minute, those circumstances change. Happiness can come from many things. Birthday parties, balloons, your favorite song on a perfect day, an encouraging message from a friend, winning the big game, a delicious meal. These are good and enjoyable things to be savored and enjoyed for sure, but all are fleeting. Joy includes happiness, but it runs much deeper. Joy permeates our souls, and joy comes from God with us. Jesus is the source of our joy. Peter said it was an inexpressible and glorious joy, and that it is a part of the inheritance that we are receiving in Christ. With his life and the promise of eternal life beyond this world. You see, that's how I can preach a message about joy today, even though there's sadness and loss that affected our church family just yesterday. Because our joy is not tied to this world. We have a much bigger inheritance than just this life. In fact, the Bible tells us if that's the only hope we have, the things in this life, we are most miserable among men. But our inheritance goes beyond this earth and this life and the things of this world. Jesus explained to his disciples about his coming death and resurrection. John 16:22. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice. And he says this, and no one will take away your joy. Because our joy is not sourced from this world, but from Jesus and his home. So as we turn our eyes to Jesus in this Advent season, as we walk with him beyond toward the day when he will come again and fulfill his healing work, we can experience his joy in the process. And we can know with confidence that even greater unending joy awaits us one day. One day we will receive it in full. Yet even now we find hope and joy in what Jesus has done and what we know he will faithfully do in the future. And like Nehemiah of the Old Testament, we can say, the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, Nehemiah didn't find joy from the circumstances around him. He faced formidable odds in rebuilding that wall. But he knew that his joy was not sourced from this world, that his joy came from God. Number three, write this down. Great joy is greater than our circumstances. Great joy is greater than our circumstances. Just a minute ago, we compared happiness and joy. But if there's one defining characteristic of joy that I hope that you take away from our time together today, it's this. Joy defies our circumstances. Great joy is greater than our circumstances. Happiness comes and goes with positive events or experience, but joy flows deep even in the face of challenge, hardship, suffering, joy that's drawn from Jesus, God with us. Because God sees the big picture beyond the immediate pain. All we see is the immediate. When we're in pain, when circumstances are going bad around us, that's it. That's all we see. That's why if you talk to somebody who's in the midst of a horrible sickness in their life, a lot of times you will hear them say something like this, well, I just don't think I can go on. I would rather be dead than feel like this. Right? I mean, sometimes we say that when we get a cold. Lord, take me now. I don't want to be sick anymore. Because all we see is the immediate pain. But God sees so much more than that. Great joy is greater than our circumstances. That's why James said, James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Joy understands that there's more than meets the eye, that God is at work always, even in the tough stuff of life, and that eventually God will make everything right and healed and whole, including us. And because of that, we can experience joy in the here and now, no matter how bad the here and now looks and feels. So what are the circumstances you're facing right now as we journey towards Christmas? What are the situations that are stealing your joy? What are the hurts where the pain seems to overrule? Great joy is greater than our circumstances. And I've got so much more this morning. We have so little time. You know, last week, for the 54th consecutive year, Charlie Brown Christmas was broadcast on major network to a national audience. It's interesting that the scene that stole the show almost didn't happen. Do you remember it? As the gang is preparing for their local Christmas parade, everyone gets mad at Charlie Brown for buying a pitiful, almost hopeless tree. And dejected, he says, "Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I don't know what Christmas is all about." And he cries out, "Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" Take a look at this quick clip just to remind you.
We're back.
Boy, are you stupid, Charlie Brown.
What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you he'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats! You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a tree!
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you.
Linus is right. I won't let all this commercialism ruin my Christmas. I'll take this little tree home and decorate it. And I'll show them it really will work in our play.
Great joy. I don't know about you, but sometimes my life looks like that tree. Miserable, falling apart, and not a whole lot to smile about. Add on top of that the lovely people who will come alongside of you very quickly and remind you how miserable your tree of a life is. But you see, great joy is greater than our circumstances. And that's why it's important for us to hear the message of the children this morning as they presented the story of Jesus' birth. Because in that, there is great joy that is bigger than our circumstances. And that joy doesn't always come in and transform our circumstances. But it's bigger than them. So that we can take our circumstances and with the joy of the Lord, make something out of them. That scene almost didn't take place. When the network executives previewed the program, they objected. They said, "You can't read long passages of the King James Version on broadcast TV. You'll lose your audience." But Peanuts creator Charles Schulz was adamant. He said this, "If we don't tell the Christmas story, who will?" So the scene stayed in, right? Let me tell you, the scene is still in your scriptures today. Angels appearing to shepherds on the hillside and bringing a message of great joy. We need to hear that today. Do not be afraid. Whatever you're going through, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Not just some, but for all the people. Because God with us brings joy. Finally, this morning, write this in your notes. Great joy is a great choice. We talked about love being a choice last week, but joy is a choice that we can make. Let's go back to our story of Mary and Elizabeth for one final moment here. When Elizabeth and Mary met and the babies jumped in their wombs and they began to be overfilled with joy, Mary's expression went something like this. "My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." See, those are important words because the key word there is rejoices. It's the active form of joy, the verb. And this is Mary choosing and embracing joy in the role that she had been given by God. She didn't have to. She could have looked at her situation a little bit like this. "I didn't ask to be the mother of God's son." If she had been asked, she might have said, "Not me." In a similar way, in our own situations and seasons, we can do the same. We can choose joy. We can rejoice We can embrace the miracle of God with us and align our vision with the work he is doing in and through us. That's why the Bible is filled with verses exhorting and encouraging us to rejoice. Like Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. In other words, make that choice to be filled with joy. Romans 12:2 says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. And these are only the beginning. So let's choose to make this season a season of joy. Let's rejoice as we figuratively await the arrival of Christ, and let's celebrate his birth with joy. God is with us, and so joy is with us. A joy that flows deep within our spirits and outward because our King, our Savior, is with us, always loving, always working, even in the midst of any hardship we will face. So I close with this verse, Psalm 5:11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. How many are taking refuge in Jesus today? Amen. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you give us such joy, great joy, joy that overcomes great pain, joy that has a great source, joy that is so much greater than our circumstances, and joy that is a great choice for us to make right now, right here in this place. We rejoice in Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. And it is in his name we pray that all would be filled with joy. And everybody said, amen. 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 I'm going to ask my wife just